Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 88 on November 16th, 2019. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on 2U Inc., National Oil Well Varco, and Kroger, and we discussed three new trades on Abercrombie & Fitch, General Motors, and Snap Incorporated. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners, so if you have any questions about the trades presented here, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C at theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. And just as an update, in the next week or two, we're going to launch a brand new all-free training course to help those of you who are getting started. I get a number of emails from people who are just starting, or they've been familiar with options for a while and want to get a little further, go a little further, so they can follow along with me a little better on the show. So I'm going to make a new tutorial series, a new like mini class that you can go ahead and sign up for without any cost, and kind of be up to speed on what we cover here on the show. So let's see. Let's talk about the markets this week. So the U.S. equity markets were up nearly the exact same percentages as last week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average grew 323 points to close the week at 28,004 points. And that was roughly a 1.75% growth over, week over week. And then the S&P 500 Index gained 27 points, ending the week at 3,120 points. And that was about an 88.5%, so really 88.5 basis point growth for the S&P. And I'm sorry, the Dow was actually up 1.169% this week. Last week it was up 1.2%. So very consistent overall, but hey, it's going in the right direction because most of us are long stocks, so that's good. Let's dive into the topic of the week. Now, the topic of the week each week is sponsored by the Option Studio. If you want to learn to trade options without any calculus and confusing language, visit the website to learn more about the online course. You can visit www.theoptionstudio.com for more information. Now, the topic of the week this week, and this is going to be the second part of our technical analysis series, is Fibonacci analysis. So I'm sure many of you, if you've been in technical analysis for any amount of time, you've heard or maybe learned a little something about Fibonacci. So Fibonacci was this Italian mathematician named Leonardo of Pisa. He later became known as Fibonacci. And his theory is that he had a formula, and that formula yielded a sequence of numbers that he felt like repeat themselves in all things, from music to nature to art and well beyond. We use it in technical analysis, of course, to analyze the amount of retracement that can be expected after a pullback. So let's say there's been an uptrend of 20 points and then the market pulls back after that. So after that uptrend, the pullback would be heads lower, maybe takes a little bit of a breather. Fibonacci analysis is typically used to either measure and or forecast how much the market is likely to retrace the last move before it goes on and presumably continues the previous trend or makes a new one. So the first two numbers that are used quite a bit that are not actually Fibonacci numbers, but they're used commonly, is the 50% level and the 100%. You obviously want to look at the 100% level because that's a full pullback. 50% is oftentimes reached, but the actual Fibonacci sequence that's used for technical analysis of the markets tend to use four data points in particular. So you have the 23.8%, you have 38.2%, a 61.8%, and a 78.6% retracement. And what's amazing is how often those levels are reached. And even sometimes you'll cross one of the levels and you'll see support and resistance at one of those levels. So let's say you reach up to the 50% level, but then you realize that, you know, there's support back down at the 38.2% level or resistance. So it's really amazing. I've always liked looking at it. This topic, Fibonacci analysis, is covered in several books, but my favorite is not that old. It's the Fibonacci Analysis book by Candace Brown. And it's a it's a short book. I'm holding it right now. I believe it is, let's see, about 180 pages. So it's not a long book at all, but man, she goes deep, probably deeper than anyone I've ever seen on this topic. This book was actually published back in 2008. So that's Constance Brown, Fibonacci Analysis by Constance Brown. And what makes this book different is that, A, you know, most books only give a partial explanation, whereas she really goes deep and thorough. She's very thorough in her covering of Fibonacci analysis itself. And then B, she goes deeper into how it's used incorrectly in technical analysis, how it's used, it's misused, if you will, in a lot of analysis. But it also has some applications for timing the market. So we always look at retracement from a price level, a percentage of price, but it's rare. Only a handful of people I know talk about using it when they're analyzing the length of time that it take, that the last trend took. So let's say the market is in an up move for 6 months and then it pulls back. You can use Fibonacci analysis to get an idea of when that pullback, timing wise, might actually end. So interesting stuff, definitely worth taking a deeper dive. I would do it no justice to sit here and try and discuss it on this show, but I do have a course that's coming that will dive in deeper. So it's an interesting tool for sure, definitely worth having in your tool belt, even if you're not into market price forecasting. Like, not everybody wants to forecast where stock is going. Some people will just say, I want to buy, you know, cheap stock or stock that is valued, that's worth more than I pay for it, and just hold on to it for the long term. But for those of us who are trading and tend to make movements, you know, have more than just a buy mentality of stock, then it's definitely worth having in your tool belt. And I find that, just like a lot of technical analysis, there's value in Fibonacci analysis simply because so many other people are looking at it. It sometimes become a self-fulfilling prophecy in and of itself. So I want to know what everyone else in the room is using to make their decisions, because the overall market is a combination of all of our actions, right? Combination of all of our thoughts and all of our analysis. So if everyone in the room is using moving averages, then I want to have an idea of what the moving averages are doing, because there might be significant money that's going to move the market based on those moving averages. And likewise, the Fibonacci levels can play a role. So that's it for this week's topic of the week. We'll get into the trade review of last week's trades. And I'm not so happy with them, but we'll just dive in. So let's start with the covered call on 2U Inc., symbol TWOU. T as in tango, W as in whiskey, O as in Oscar, U as in uniform. At the time, the stock was trading for $21.30. I looked at buying that stock and selling the December 22 half call at $1.25. Hoping for an 11.5% return in 6 weeks. Well, 2U stock rose $1.39 this week, finishing at $22.69 per share. The December 22 half call that we sold could actually be repurchased for $1.60 which would only be a loss on that call option of 35 cents. This means that we have a net gain on this trade of $1.04 per share if you were to close the trade out completely on Monday. However, if you hold the position through expiration, with stock staying above $22.50, you'll actually walk away with a total of $2.45 per share. So you stand to gain more, really more than double your return by holding the trade for 5 weeks and hanging out for that full 11.5% return. Now, I'd personally be more inclined to hold this trade and maximize the return. So it just depends on your individual risk tolerance. This trade worked. No reason to run for the door, but definitely always be vigilant about defending your trades that are in the money or that have made money. So our second trade last week was a credit spread on National Oil Well Varco, symbol N as in November, O as in Oscar, V as in Victor. At the time, the stock was trading for $23.38. And I looked at selling the December 23-22 put spread at 34 cents, which can lead to a maximum loss of 66 cents per spread. Well, the National Oil Well Varco stock fell 58 cents this week, closing the week at $22.80 on Friday. Now, the out-of-the-money put spread we sold is actually at the money, closer to being fully in the money right now. So the spread can be repurchased for 58 cents per spread, which is a loss of 24 cents per spread. Now remember, our maximum loss is 66 cents, so we haven't had our maximum loss just yet. Now the break-even point on this trade is $22.66 per share, so technically we've not reached that point, and we should still think about playing defense on this trade just in case we get close to that. So when looking at this trade, we essentially sold a December 23 put for an intrinsic value of 34 cents. At the moment, it only has an intrinsic value of about 20 cents. So the rest of the value in the spread is time value, and that will continue to decrease each day. So we can always sell a call spread against this put spread and turn it into an iron condor. However, be careful not to choose strikes that will likely guarantee a loss on this trade. So for instance, if we sold the December 23-24 call spread against this, we would collect 26 cents. However, we would need stock to expire right at $23 per share to keep from losing money on either the put spread or the call spread. So at this point in the trading cycle, I'm actually more prone to exercise a little bit of patience. And I don't know if you guys have caught on to the fact I don't have much patience at all, but I'm trying. I thought I would get more patience as I got older, and there are things that I'm patient about, but there are a lot of things that I'm less patient about as well. So I can't wait to be an old man. I'm gonna be probably intolerable with regards to wanting things done now, because I'm pretty bad now. So maybe life will make me a little more patient, but definitely want to wait for the market to give a little bit more data before making a move on this trade, because you just don't want to lock in a loss. You also don't want to put yourself in a scenario where you've guaranteed a loss by selling a call spread or locking in some value on another put spread and ultimately hurting yourself. So it helps to understand options. It helps to understand when I say understand options, I'm not talking about all the Greeks and all of that. I just mean knowing where you would make money and where you would lose money on a particular trade before you get involved with it. So if we were, for instance, to sell that December 23-24 call spread, we need prices to finish below $23 a share to not end up with that trade actually being in the money. However, if prices are below $23 a share, that's actually going to mean that we're losing money most likely on this December 23-22 put spread. So that's why I said if you sold that at-the-money call spread against this at-the-money put spread, you would end up in a scenario where unless stock finished right at $23 a share in 5 weeks at expiration, you're likely going to be dealing with a loss of some sort. So then it just becomes a question of maximum loss. So if we collected 26 cents on this call spread and we sold the put spread for 34 cents, that means all in, 26 plus 34, that's 60 cents. That means that we still could lose 40 cents, a net 40 cents on this trade, because both of those spreads are worth a dollar, right? So if either spread ended up being finishing fully in the money, we would still lose 40 cents, even though we start off collecting 60 cents. So that's not calculus, that's just simple arithmetic. I think I used a little bit of addition and some subtraction, and I'm able to understand options. So, but that's the goal of this show for you guys. I want you guys to be able to look at option trading as simple math, not something that's scary or complicated, because if you own stock and something, I mean, more regular individuals in the world own stock than ever before in any point in history. And because of that, options are a great tool to be able to use to offset risk or control risk or just manage profit and loss. So I'm so glad you guys listen, because hopefully, I mean, it's episode 88. I'm hoping that you guys are understanding kind of what's possible and also what's not possible. If you're selling a spread in options, it's not possible that you're going to lose your house unless you decide to sell a lot of spreads. And even then, your brokerage account, your broker should limit with regards to margin what you're able to do. So it's not scary, it's just math. Let's move on to our debit spread from last week, which was on Kroger, symbol KR, K as in kilo, R as in Romeo. At the time, the stock was trading for $27.02, and we looked at buying that December 26, 27 call spread for 65 cents, hoping for a maximum gain of 35 cents or roughly 54% return in 6 weeks. Well, Kroger stock ended the week at $26.75 per share, a loss of 27 cents. So the in-the-money call spread we bought is less in the money now. Actually, the spread can be sold right now at 53 cents, locking in a loss of 12 cents per spread. Now, we're still 10 cents above the break-even price, and that means that we should still wait. So this is another one of those trades where it's moved against us a little bit, but we haven't crossed the threshold of actually losing money on this full trade unless we decide to exit. So my first goal, if I were to try to make another trade against this, would be to sell an out-of-the-money call spread against this spread that we own. That does a couple of things. A, it allows me to bring in some more cash as a bit of a cushion against any losses, but it ultimately decreases the price that I've paid for that December 26 call. So I'm looking at this spread as really me being able to buy a call that is in the money by 75 cents right now. And that's the December 26 call. If I were to sell another spread against it, then like if I were to sell the December 28, 29 call spread at 19 cents, really that's just more money that I have that I've used to be able to offset the actual price of that December 26 call, because I'm expecting that call to finish in the money and I want to be able to buy it as cheap as possible to lock in my high return. So I use the spread because I can sell that December 27 call as a means of offsetting that December 26 call. And if you listen to each time I give a new trade, I also provide a break-even price. If you listen to that and start writing those down and doing the math, you'll realize that break-even price is very close to, highly tied to, the intrinsic value of the option that is really controlling the risk. So because I bought this spread, the December 26 call option is really the option that's defining the risk in this spread. On options on these credit spreads where I sold the spread, the option that I sold is the one that's controlling the actual risk of the spread. So that the math there will define the break-even point. So that's it for today. Let's get into the trades for this week. And of course, yesterday, Friday, November the 15th, was options expiration for November. So all of your November positions right now are priced at their intrinsic value or they have expired worthless. All right, so we'll start off as usual with the covered call. This week we're looking at Abercrombie and Fitch, symbol ANF, A as in Alpha, N as in November, F as in Foxtrot. Stock ended the week at $18.45 per share. I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the December 19 call at $1.20. That'll yield a maximum of 9.49 or 9.5% return in 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying Abercrombie & Fitch stock for $18.45 and then selling the December 19 call at $1.20. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $19 per share, and the break-even price on this trade is $17.25. Our next trade for the week is going to be a credit spread on General Motors, GM, symbol G as in Golf, M as in Mike. The stock ended the week at $36.89 per share. And I'm looking at selling the December 37-38 call spread at 33 cents, which can yield a maximum loss of 67 cents. Now, you enter this trade by selling the December 37 call at 79 cents and concurrently buying the December 38 call for 46 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish below $37 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $37.33. And then our final trade for the week is a debit spread on Snap Inc., symbol SNAP, S as in Sierra, N as in November, A as in Alpha, P as in Papa. The stock ended the week at $13.94, and I'm looking at buying the December 15-14 put spread for 69 cents, which can give us a maximum gain of 31 cents or 45% return in 5 weeks. Now, you entered this trade by buying the December 15 put at $1.45 and selling the December 14 put at 76 cents. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish below $14 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $14.31. And as a quick highlight for all of these prices, on Monday, there are a number of, all of the half strikes will be priced in. So like this this debit spread being a December 15-14 put spread, on Monday, that 14 half strike will be priced in. So you might find some better pricing in some of the other trades. So use the prices on this show as a guidepost, not an exact, because if you're just entering the trade, unless you buy on the open and get the market makers to fill you on these prices, the market's going to move and it's going to be hard to replicate these trades on Monday morning, but you certainly can get something close. So my goal here is always to give you the kind of the understanding more than the exact play. Or how about this? We study the plays so that during the game we can we know what we need to do and we can adjust accordingly. So that's probably a horrible analogy. I mean, I'm a band kid. I grew up playing percussion and I love piano as well. I'll always be a musician. So I'm not sure why I just made an attempt at an athletic analogy, but hey, you know, Saturday morning, why not? I hope you guys enjoy the show. Thank you so much for listening, and absolutely feel free to email me. I get a kick out of it when you guys do write me. I get emails from hedge fund traders. I get emails from, you know, people who are just starting to trade options from home. I've gotten a couple of emails from people who listen to other folks who put them into some really risky trades, and they needed an idea of how to get out. So, and I also just get, you know, I get emails from folks who just want to say, hey, I like your show. Maybe fix this or that. So I always love it. You know, feel free to write me. And that is it for this week. Have an amazing weekend and a great week. As usual, happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, There is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.